The sermon this morning will be looking at Lord's Day 25 of the Heidelberg Catechism. In that connection, we're going to read in God's Holy Word from 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll read the first 12 verses of that chapter. This is the Word of God. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And thus far, we read God's Word. It's on the basis of this passage of Scripture and many others that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 25, which you can find on page 14 in the back of your Psalter. Lord's Day 25. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? From the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. For the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. How many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? Two, namely, Holy Baptism and the Holy Supper. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the preaching. Father, we give thanks today for the great gift of the preaching of the gospel, and along with that, the sacraments. Even as we hear preaching this morning, we are thankful that we may learn, that we may be taught in the preaching this morning what the preaching is, and that we may see in this the work of the Holy Spirit through this means and the means of the sacraments. We are so blessed richly by Thee, our God, and the gift of the preaching of the gospel. And we pray, O God, that Thou wilt use the Word this morning to encourage us to see the great gift we have in the preaching so that we would have a zeal for it, so that we would have a hunger and a thirst for it. And we are thankful as well that twice on the Lord's Day, normally, we may gather for worship. And we're thankful that we may hear preaching again tonight through Professor Gritters, who will lead us and guide us in our worship. We pray Thy blessing upon the preaching of the Word in this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at Lord's Day 25 this morning, we want to keep in mind again that somewhat loose theme we've had as we've gone through the Heidelberg Catechism, that theme of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Jesus Christ or the kingdom of heaven. As we look at Lord's Day 25, what we consider here is this: how is it that Jesus Christ works in us so that we know that we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven and so that we are strengthened as citizens of the kingdom? So how does Jesus Christ work so that we know we're citizens of the kingdom and we are strengthened, we are fed as citizens of the kingdom? What means does Jesus Christ use to accomplish that twofold purpose? That's what we consider this morning. We can consider that from the perspective of the means that God uses for our life here on this earth. As we live here on this earth, there are things that God uses to strengthen us, and He gives us life here on this earth. Life has a beginning. We're born into this world, and then as we grow older, we become aware of the fact that we're alive and that we live here on this earth. But also, God strengthens us. He uses the means of sleep and food and drink so that we're strengthened. Now we see and understand today that we are citizens as well of a spiritual kingdom. That's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our King, and God is our King through Him. The Lord Jesus Christ builds His kingdom, and this kingdom is seen, it is manifest here on this earth in the gathering of believers and their seed in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now within that church, within that kingdom, the Holy Spirit works the gift of faith. We've seen that already. Lord's Day 7, that's the Lord's Day on faith. Then Lord's Day 20, the Lord's Day on the Holy Spirit. And we've seen in those two Lord's Days that faith is the gift of God and the Holy Spirit is the one who works this faith in our hearts. But now we want to see and understand this morning how it is that Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit, works this faith in us and strengthens our faith. But there's one thing else that we must understand as we look at Lord's Day 25 this morning. You may have noticed when you had the Heidelberg Catechism open that above Lord's Day 25 it said, of the sacraments. Now we're not starting here a brand new section of the Heidelberg Catechism. We know there are three sections. The first section is the misery of our sin. The second section is our deliverance from that misery. And the third section is the gratitude we show to God for that deliverance. But as part of that second section of the catechism, dealing with our deliverance from the misery of sin, there's this section that's part of it, of the sacraments. When the Heidelberg Catechism was commissioned, when the writing of it was commissioned, an important reason for the writing of it was that there would be a clear scriptural summary of the truth of the sacraments because there was much division and discussion about these things in that day. Now this morning we see and understand that the kingdom of Jesus Christ and His work by the Word, it meets the sacraments here in Lord's Day 25. And the focus is the sacraments. And that is because of the wrong teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. They're thinking that sacraments themselves save. That the water of baptism, that the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper, and the other sacraments they had as well, that by the doing of these things, the carrying out of the sacrament, someone was saved. But we see and understand rightly the means of the sacraments in connection with the preaching, and it's by this that the Holy Spirit works in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. These two things, the work of the Holy Spirit by the Word and the sacraments, they meet together here in Lord's Day 25. Let's understand from the beginning why this is so important for us to consider. Why is it important for us to have a sermon about the sacraments and the preaching? Well, this is important because this is a vital aspect of our worship, is it not? It's part of our worship. When we gather for worship, one of the reasons we gather for worship is to praise God. But another reason that we gather for worship is because we need refreshment. We need renewal. We need to be strengthened because our faith is so weak and we are so weak and living for the glory of God. And so we need this refreshment and renewal on a weekly basis. And then this reminds us this morning of the place of the preaching and the sacraments in our lives as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Not only that, but the word then this morning also teaches us what the chief calling of the church is. What's the chief calling of the church? Well, it's to preach the word and to administer the sacraments. That's what the church is busy in. In our day, churches are busy in many other things. No, the work of the church is this: preaching and sacraments, and later we come to the keys of the kingdom, Christian discipline as well. We're considering here and then later on, really, the three marks of the true church. We're considering what the church must be. So we see the importance then of this word this morning concerning what the church must be and how much we need the preaching and the sacraments. So with that in mind, understanding the importance, we consider how the Spirit works faith. How the Spirit works faith. We notice first the idea of this. Secondly, the means. So then we look specifically at the means of the preaching and the sacraments. And then finally, the fruit. In this first point, we want to focus on the work of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit accomplishes by the means of the preaching and the sacraments. And the second point, we'll focus on the means. But first, we want to see the important work of the Spirit. And we see, first of all, that the Holy Spirit, when He establishes the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, that's what He does by His work in our hearts, He brings us to a conscious faith. What that means is that the Holy Spirit, when He works in us, brings us to know that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Remember, at the very beginning of the introduction, I said there were two things that we wanted to see and understand here, and that is how Jesus Christ works in us by His Spirit so that we are conscious of the fact that we are citizens of the kingdom and how we are fed and refreshed and renewed. So this, first of all, the Holy Spirit in His work makes us conscious citizens of the kingdom of heaven, so that when the Word of God addresses citizens of the kingdom, our ears perk up and our hearts are opened and we're listening to what it is that the King says to His people. Now, going back a minute to the work of the Holy Spirit, how does the Holy Spirit work in us? What is the work of the Holy Spirit? Well, the beginning work of the Holy Spirit in us is the work of regeneration. It's the new life of Jesus Christ worked in us. 1 Peter 1, verse 23 speaks of that and uses the example of the planting of a seed in us. The seed of the life of Jesus Christ is implanted in our hearts in regeneration. It speaks there in that verse of the Word of God, but that Word of God there, I believe, is not referring to the preaching of the gospel, but to the Word who is Jesus Christ, because it says that that Word lives and abides forever. That's Christ who is the Word of God. When the Holy Spirit plants in our hearts the life of Jesus Christ, what the Holy Spirit does is He stakes His claim upon our hearts as citizens of the kingdom. Luke 17, verse 21 says that the kingdom of God is within us. So the Holy Spirit stakes His claim on our hearts, then on our bodies, and really on our whole lives. And the Holy Spirit is saying, this one is mine. Think of that from the perspective of the planting of a flag. A flag symbolizes to whom a castle or a city might belong. You might see a flag flying outside of the state capital to show that that is a state capital. The state of Michigan flag is there, and then the United States flag would be there as well to say, this is the country that we are part of. Sometimes in sports there's that. A team that wins a game will take its flag and plant it there in the field to show that they've conquered, they've won, this is ours, as it were. And that's the idea here. The Holy Spirit, when He works in us, He says, this one is mine. This one belongs to Jesus Christ. Our hearts and lives are claimed as the territory of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and we belong to Him. So that, what we read in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, that is true of the church. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's because the Holy Spirit lays claim to His own. But the Holy Spirit, when He works, doesn't simply work in regeneration and then leave it at that. But when He works in us and gives us the life of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit also brings us to the consciousness that we belong to Christ, that we are citizens of His kingdom. We know that Jesus is our King. And the Holy Spirit, to do this, uses means. Just like there are means that are used, and you kids can understand this, we talk about means. We're talking about things God uses. God uses food and drink to make our bodies strong and so that you as children can grow. We have the energy that we need for the things we do every day in that way. So also God gives spiritual means in His kingdom by which we are strengthened. The Holy Spirit, He uses the means of the preaching to bring us to know that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. The Holy Spirit takes the child of God in whom is planted the new life of Jesus Christ and brings that child of God the preaching of the gospel. And by the preaching of the gospel, that child of God then comes to see and know, yes, this is true of me. Faith is worked in us by the Holy Spirit through the means of the preaching of the gospel. Using that picture of a seed, a seed planted in the ground, which is the picture given in 1 Peter 1 of the new life of Jesus Christ in us. Then that seed is watered. That seed is watered by the preaching of the Word. It sprouts and it grows. And then that growth is accomplished by the Word and by the sacraments together. The Holy Spirit uses those means to bring us then to the consciousness of our citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. And in that kingdom, there is growth and there is development in faith and in godliness. The Holy Spirit uses the means to accomplish that. And that brings up then the second part here of our first point. Not only does the Holy Spirit then bring us to the consciousness of our citizenship in the kingdom through the means of the preaching, but He does give us growth in our faith. There is in our lives growth in faith because of the work of the Holy Spirit through the means of the preaching and the sacraments. Those who would otherwise remain in unbelief receive from Christ faith. And that means that we embrace the mercy and the righteousness of God. We know that the mercy of God is for us. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is ours. And we rest in the faithfulness of God. It's part of why I read Psalm 36 this morning. It spoke to us of the mercy of God and the faithfulness of God that reaches to the heavens. The idea is there's no end to it. And by faith, we know that mercy of God is for us as citizens of the kingdom of grace and mercy in Jesus Christ. Those who have faith rest in hope and joy and fulfillment that is found only in Jesus Christ, because He is the way and the truth and the life. By the way, that's always true, the work of the Holy Spirit, pointing us to Jesus Christ. So we embrace God's mercy and we rest in His faithfulness. But the reality is that we're struggling to do that like we should. Yes, we've been given the gift of faith, but we remember what Jesus said so often to His disciples, "O ye of little faith." And when we hear that, we know that is true for us too. We've been given the gift of faith. Our faith is yet so dim. Our faith is yet so weak. So the Holy Spirit works it in us, and it's not because of some fault in the work of the Holy Spirit, but we still have sinful natures within us, and so we're struggling in this faith, aren't we? And not only do we know that by experience, but we read that in the Scriptures of God's people constantly struggling in their faith. There's Asaph in Psalm 77. When he looks at his life and all of the suffering that was found in his life, and he struggles there and he cries out to God and he's wondering if the favor and the grace and the mercy of God have been taken away from him. He's struggling in his faith. Or you read Psalm 13, the psalmist there, David's struggling as well, asking those same questions until finally he comes to see and know that the Lord had dealt bountifully with him. You ladies in your ladies' Bible study are studying the life of Job. And so often he was patient and he was trusting in the promises of God. But there are other times where he was really struggling in his faith to see the promises of God and to see the goodness of God in his own life. It's in the midst of suffering that we can struggle. Why? Because on the one hand, we know God is good. We believe it. But then there are these things that happen to us that are so painful. And to have pain and goodness coming together, it doesn't seem like when there's goodness that there ought to be pain and there ought to be suffering that's so grievous for us. And that's the great struggle we have in our lives, to see things from a right way, to see the sovereignty of God and His wisdom and His love for us. We also struggle in our faith because of the foolishness of our sin. We're struggling against sin. And the canons even speaks of that in Head 5, that there may be those who are walking in sin and they lose the sense of God's favor. It's not because God hath withdrawn His favor. It's not because the Holy Spirit hath withdrawn, but it's because there is sin that is overwhelming and dominating and controlling life. And then the questions come, how can I be a child of God if I'm walking in such a way? Maybe I'm not a child of God and Satan is attacking. And we just say, well, phooey on it all. What's the use? And we're struggling to see and know the mercy of God because we're looking just at ourselves and thinking that that mercy depends upon me and what I do. And what we need to see and know this morning is the Holy Spirit preserves the citizens of the kingdom. He does. He brings them to repentance. He brings them to sorrow for their sins. He brings them to lay hold upon the mercy of God in their suffering. He brings us to see and know that there is goodness, that God is accomplishing a good end in all of these things. And through these very things, the Holy Spirit is causing us to grow as we're under the Word and we see the sacraments as well. Beloved, this is why we need the Word and sacraments. Because we're struggling. It would be awful if people stopped coming to church thinking, well, and I've heard people say this, not in our own churches, but I've heard others say it. I've heard so many sermons, I've been to church so often, there's really not a need for that anymore. Don't hear anything new. Kind of the attitude, I know it all, and I know what God's Word says. Why do I need church? We need it because we're weak. We need it because we're struggling. We need it because our faith isn't always what it ought to be. That would be awful if within us that thinking started to creep in. And then what's going to happen is our faith remains stagnant. Or, worse yet, it goes backward and we're not looking at God like we should and trusting in Jesus Christ. And we're just looking at ourselves. We need to see and understand this morning, because this is how the Holy Spirit works, by the Word and sacraments, how much we need the Word and the sacraments. It's the encouragement for us. This is part of the reason we come together for worship. We come every Sunday morning with our mouths open wide because we're empty. We need to be filled. You know that. How empty you are. The great struggle of faith in life. And we need the Word to refresh us and renew us and strengthen us. And when we have baptism and the Lord's Supper, we need these sacraments also for the strengthening of our faith. The Holy Spirit, He works in us the consciousness of our citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. And the Holy Spirit is strengthening us as citizens of that kingdom. That's the Holy Spirit's work by these means. Now, with that in mind, we consider the means specifically by which the Holy Spirit works. Again, remember means, tools, things, instruments that God uses for good. God uses sleep, food, and drink for the strengthening of our bodies. You kids know it, that when Dad has a project at home, he hauls out the tools, the instruments that he uses to fix something. God has instruments, tools, things, means that he uses to work faith in us and to strengthen us. And there are two. The first is the Word, by which he works faith in us and strengthens that faith. And secondly, the sacraments, which come alongside of the Word and are used by the Holy Spirit to strengthen us in our faith. This morning we take a few moments to be reminded of what the preaching of the gospel is. Because this is the chief means by which the Holy Spirit works in us the consciousness of faith and strengthens our faith. What is the preaching? Well, the preaching is the authoritative word of the king. Okay, remember the concept of kingdom. So as those who are citizens of the kingdom, the preaching is the authoritative word of the king. It's the authoritative word of King Jesus Christ that comes through his appointed messengers, his ambassadors. It's a word then that has power and authority because it is a word that comes from Jesus Christ the King through his ambassadors. Now, how do we know what is an authoritative word that we must follow and obey? Well, when that word that is preached comes out of the Holy Scriptures, when it's an explanation, a faithful exposition of the truth that is found in Scripture, then we know it's an authoritative word of the King. We know also that in the preaching, we shouldn't miss this, in the preaching we hear Christ Himself. That comes out in Romans 10, verses 14 and 15, which literally says, whom they have not heard. How shall they hear of whom they have not heard? We hear Jesus Christ in the preaching. That's what Jesus says as well in John 10, verse 27, when he says that his sheep hear his voice. They hear his voice in the preaching. That tells us something important about preaching. Preaching is not just teaching. Striking when we read Lord's Day 25 this morning, that's one of the words that was used here for the Word of God. Teaching, yes, that's answer 67. Yes, indeed, for the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacrament. So there is teaching in the preaching. It's teaching what the Word of God says, teaching who God is, teaching who Jesus is. But it's more than that. It's not simply teaching, because in the preaching we're hearing Christ Himself, and Christ Himself calls us to action in that Word. What's the striking thing about the Heidelberg Catechism and the beauty of it? Is it tells us from Scripture what must be the focus of the preaching along with the sacraments. The focus is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. His work as our Savior. His rule as our Lord. His word to us and how we are to live as citizens of the kingdom. But in the end, always, it's about Jesus Christ. And this Jesus Christ Himself speaks to us about Himself through His ambassadors. That's the idea concept we find in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. The preachers of the gospel are ambassadors. They represent Christ. They bring the authoritative word of Jesus Christ. The ambassador will not bring any other word, and he certainly will not bring a word that contradicts what the king says. No, he's a servant of Christ, and he brings the word of the king. But the beauty of this, then, is that through this means of the preaching, the Holy Spirit is accomplishing his purpose. You remember what that is. It's what we looked at in the first point. He works in us the consciousness of our citizenship in the kingdom. He makes us to know what is declared in that word is true for us, a certain knowledge and assured confidence. That is worked in us by the Holy Spirit through this means. And then also we are strengthened by this word. We take a few moments to see and understand from Scripture the many examples that there are of this powerful work of the Spirit by means of the Word. We're looking in our combined Bible study at the life of Elijah. And Elijah, of course, was a prophet of God, one of these ambassadors in the Old Covenant, who spoke the Word of God at a time of great wickedness and sin in the northern kingdom. And soon he's going to bring a word. He brought it to Ahab. Pretty soon we'll be studying the word that he brought on Mount Carmel. What an amazing story that is. And kids in the first and through third grades, we just had that recently in catechism, didn't we? One of my favorite stories to teach in catechism. But the word goes forth. And what's the word? Jehovah, he is the God. So that all of Israel up in that mountain was repeating it when they saw that fighter come down and burn up that, not only the sacrifice on the altar, but the altar itself and the water that had saturated it. The Lord, Jehovah, He is the God. That was the word that Elijah brought to the people of Israel, and it accomplished God's purpose. God's people were brought to know that they belonged to Him. Others were hardened, but His people came to know they belonged to Him, and they were strengthened in their faith. Elisha was a prophet of God through whom God accomplished His purpose. Jonah was a prophet of God in the Old Testament through whom God accomplished His purpose in the city of Nineveh. In the city of Nineveh, where many there repented of their sins. And then Acts 13, I almost read Acts 13 this morning, As we read there of the work that took place in Antioch and Pisidia, that wasn't the Antioch which was the center of the church from which the missionaries went out, but the other Antioch in Asia Minor. And we read in Acts 13 of amazing work there. Paul and Silas, they preached the gospel there in Antioch and Pisidia. And the Jews, they rejected it. But there are many others who came, so that almost the entire city came the next Sunday to hear Paul preach the gospel. Then Acts 13, verse 48 tells us that as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So God determined who would believe. God worked faith in them, and the means that He used was the preaching of the gospel. And God's people there were fed, and they were nourished by that word. It could be easy for us to take that for granted in our day. We live in a day where preaching is being discarded, and we know that. And we must not say that with any kind of pride in ourselves as if, yeah, look at us, look what we're doing. But there is that danger, and we are up against it in our day, whether we realize it or not, but we really are. Because in our day, we have generations who are growing up wanting to be entertained. And that's the question for us as well. Are we consumed with entertainment? With the screens? And being entertained by the things that are going on around us? So that if we don't have something to do that's fun, that our kids say, well, they're bored. And then there becomes a disconnect between all of that, all the fun in the games and the entertainment through the week. And now, sit quietly in church for an hour and a half and listen to a good 45 to 50 minute sermon. I realize and understand there are all different circumstances and different way that brains function. I'm not getting at all of that. But see and understand what the church is up against in our day. We're not used to sitting and just listening and hearing what God has to say to us. And more it can be a struggle. And then you see and understand why the church thinks in so many places today, well, if we're going to keep the people in the pew, and especially the younger ones in the pew, we need to entertain them. We need to shrink the message down. We need to tell some jokes. We need to be a little bit fun. We need to be a little loose in all of that. And that's going to keep them there. We have in our day pulpits removed. And it's just a man standing up here, giving his thoughts, doing a little bit of teaching. And he's not calling to faith and calling to repentance and bringing the authoritative word of the King. And that must not happen here. It must not happen here. The danger is that we discard it because we think that we ought to be entertained. God does not call us to worship to be entertained. As I heard it put one time, there's an audience of one in our worship. You're not the audience. God is the audience. He hears and He sees. But not just that. That's where the figure fails. He speaks. He speaks to us the word of life and truth that we need. This is the means by which He works to bring generations to faith and to strengthen our faith as well. And then along with that, the Holy Spirit confirms our faith by the use of the sacraments that Jesus Christ has instituted. Now, I realize that last week we looked at the sacrament of baptism. We jumped ahead to Lord's Day 26, and we talked a little bit there about what sacraments are, but let's be reminded of what sacraments are this morning. Sacraments, and you can remember these two S's, signs and seals. Baptism and Lord's Supper, that's what they are. They are signs and seals. Let's understand what that means. A sign is a visible representation of an invisible reality. So there's something that is seen that pictures an invisible grace. For example, with baptism, the sprinkling of water is a picture of an invisible reality, but a reality the washing away of our sins, the forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. The bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper as well, visible, something we can see, but pointing to an invisible reality, just as real as what we see with our eyes. And really, that's an amazing thing that God does. He takes what is plain and what is common in everyday life, water, bread, wine. Does it get any more common and ordinary and everyday than that? And God takes them and says, no, but in this use, they're special. Not that the water accomplishes anything, not that the bread and wine accomplish anything. That's the air of the Roman Catholic Church. But no, God uses them as signs, as pictures. They represent the gospel. They represent Jesus Christ and His work. But the sacraments aren't just signs. They're not just pictures. They're also seals. That means that by the working of the Holy Spirit in the lives and the hearts of the citizens of the kingdom, God takes that picture and seals that upon their hearts, guarantees, as it were, that what is pictured in that and what is heard in the preaching is true for me. The Holy Spirit takes it and points out to us what it is that Jesus Christ has done, and the child of God, the believer, lays hold on that in the power of the Holy Spirit and says, what's pictured there is true for me. That's why with baptism and Lord's Supper, it's not just about water and bread and wine. It's holding on to, it's believing what is pictured there in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we see and understand this morning why it is that God has given the sacraments. You're not saved by the sacraments. And what I mean by that is that you're not saved by the very fact that you've had some water sprinkled on your head or you've eaten some bread and drank some wine when the Lord's Supper was administered. There's no special work through the physical deed. But instead, as we see and understand what is going on, God uses those sacraments then to nourish and strengthen our faith. They nourish and strengthen our faith. That is the saving work of the Holy Spirit by the sacrament. Now, this is why, beloved, the sacraments must never be separated from the preaching. So again, in the Roman Catholic Church, the sacraments become the thing. And you need to be baptized to be saved. And if you partake of Mass, then you are saved. This is even a deed that can be done on your part, on your behalf, so that you can earn something with God. No, that's not what the sacraments are. But instead, the sacraments are added to the preaching because God knows the weakness of our faith. And sometimes what we need is that picture. And that picture breaks through. And it teaches us in a very plain and simple way the very heart of the gospel of Christ. So that's why it's always connected to the preaching. We don't administer sacrament of baptism in the hospital. We don't administer the Lord's Supper in the nursing homes. We do that in official worship service where there is the preaching of the gospel, because the preaching is the chief means of grace. The sacraments come alongside as a visual aid for us, as it were, for the strengthening of our faith. So the Holy Spirit works by the preaching and the sacraments. And through this, God always and without exception accomplishes His purpose. That's the fruit. God always and without exception accomplishes His purpose in the preaching and the sacrament. And you who belong to Jesus Christ, who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, it accomplishes its purpose for your salvation. The preaching brings you to know Jesus Christ, to know your King, to know your citizenship, to know the kingdom that you are a part of. The preaching works that. And the preaching and the sacraments serve the purpose of strengthening us week by week. What an amazing thing that takes place here. I'm reminded of that again. It's not because of me. It's not because of the effectiveness of a man. The Holy Spirit is able to take weak men and use the word that they bring. Paul himself spoke of that. The Holy Spirit is able to use weak and sinful men who aren't the best communicators, but able yet to bring a word that lives within us and strengthens us day by day. God's able to use water and bread and wine, very plain, ordinary things, for the strengthening of our faith. That's all the work of God. The weak means point us to the greatness of our God this morning. And by those same means, God hardens. He hardens hearts through the preaching and the sacraments, so they do not come to know and see that they are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, because they are not, and they are hardened in it. God always accomplishes His purpose. But in this, God is glorifying Himself. This is the fruit of this. God is glorified for what He has accomplished. We're reminded again of the sovereign grace of God. Yes, the sovereign grace of God in Jesus Christ and the work that He has accomplished for us, but also the sovereign grace of God as He is pleased to use these means, all for the glory of His great name. The world sees it as foolishness, especially in our day and age of entertainment. What, you sit in a worship service for an hour and a half? There's no band in front. There's no jokes being told. Your sermon is how long? Again, let's not be filled with any kind of pride in that. But we see and understand in the world today, the world doesn't think that that kind of thing can be effective. But it is, because of the work of God and the power of the Holy Spirit as He accomplishes His purpose for the glory of His great name. May we glorify and praise Him today for what He does in our midst. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the word of life we hear, for the preaching of the gospel we receive each week. And we pray that Thou wilt work in us, work in the line of generation, so that there is the awareness of belonging to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray as well that there would be the strengthening of faith that takes place. Father, we need that. Often our faith is so dim. We are struggling. At times we're crawling when it comes to trusting in Thee. But Thou art a God who picks us up, renews us, and refreshes us. So do that again in this day. And give to us, not only in this church, but in our churches, men who are committed to the preaching of this glorious gospel of grace, and who are servants who want to declare the greatness of the work of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit within us. So bless us under the ministry of the word in this day. Bless our fellowship together in this morning as well. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.